This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 15th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a closer look at new fuel-efficient cars and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana that includes a little more snow this weekend. But first, today's news. The director of Champaign County's Emergency Management Agency says all county roads are now open, but Bill Keller cautions that frigid temperatures have made conditions extremely slick. Snowplow drivers have spent the night focusing on rural cities, normally north of Fisher, southwest of Sadorus, and northeast of Gifford. But he says crews are still out, widening the paths of these roads for motorists' convenience and because of the threat of additional snow.
They're pushing snow back. You know, a lot of the roads, they got opened up, but they weren't as wide as we'd like them, so they're out there widening those right now. And, of course, now they're saying another 2 to 3 inches, maybe Friday night into Saturday. So if that occurs, you know, we've got to have a place to push that, too.
Keller says there weren't any additional reports of stranded motorists overnight. He said a lot of people avoided the conditions and stayed home, and those that did drive had a much easier time getting around. Champaign Unit 4 schools are closed today for the third day in a row. Unit 4 spokeswoman Beth Shepard says that even with the hiring of extra snow removal crews, they've only been able to clear the driveways, parking lots, and sidewalks off about half of their 17 school buildings. She says opening only some of the schools while keeping others closed would be too confusing for parents and employees. Shepard says school officials hope to have Unit 4 schools open for class tomorrow, but they won't make the decision until this afternoon. The University of Illinois campus has been quiet over the past 2 days, but some employees are angry about the policy for pay of snow days. More from AM 580's Tom Rogers.
The Urbana-Champaign campus closed for the first time in nearly 3 decades this week, with only employees deemed essential to the campus's main functions told to report for work. On Tuesday, Chancellor Richard Herman told the campus in an email that employees who didn't report during the storm will be charged vacation or sick days, or will have to take an excused leave with no pay. Elin Cole is the Associate Provost for Human Resources. She says the Chancellor's letter is the current policy, but it may not be the last word on the issue.
We are reviewing our policy relative to pay for employees for these past 2 days. And so I'm not prepared to give specifics about how we're handling that at the moment. What we've put out so far is pretty much where we still stand.
Cole says administrators may change the policy or simply clarify or further explain it. She says the U of I set the vacation day policy after reviewing previous incidents where portions of the campus were closed, such as during power outages or flooding. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says a new report on poverty in Illinois is proof that many families are falling further behind. Durbin is calling for increases in Pell Grants, a higher minimum wage, and cuts to student loan interest rates as a remedy. The report released today is called the 2007 Report on Illinois Poverty. It shows that 85% of the counties in the state had an increase in the number of people in poverty compared to a similar study last year. The study also shows that nearly 700,000 people in the state live in extreme poverty. Extreme poverty is defined by households living on an annual income of less than half the poverty line. That means an Illinois family of three would have a monthly income of less than about $692. A former phone company executive has been named chairman of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Sean Crawford has more.
Kerry Heitman spent 5 years as president of SBC Illinois. The governor has tabbed her to be chair of the Higher Ed Board, which oversees funding and academic policies for public colleges and universities. Heitman, who is from Buffalo Grove, says her past experience will be a benefit.
My business and legal background, I think, can really enhance the board's focus on making the educational system responsive to the needs of employers and the demands of the workplace. And I think that that's uniquely important now in this global economy in which we operate.
Heitman says her priorities include accountability, affordability, and making sure schools use technology to teach students, while also having higher education be a seamless transition from elementary and secondary education. She takes over for James Kaplan, who recently resigned to spend more time with his family. I'm Sean Crawford.
A bill requiring doctors to tell women seeking an abortion that human life begins at conception drew criticism before an Indiana Senate committee yesterday. The bill would require doctors to tell women seeking an abortion that their fetus might feel pain during the procedure. It would also mandate that women receive information at least 18 hours before an abortion about the availability of adoptions and be told that having an abortion poses physical risks. Critics said the provision is built around a specific religious belief not widely shared by all faiths and that there is wide disagreement in the medical community about whether a fetus feels pain. A U.S. government attorney has rejected a Florida man's application to trademark the name Obama bin Laden. U.S. Patent and Trademark Office lawyer Karen Bush says the name is too similar to the U.S. presidential candidate and an alleged terrorist. Bush says Alexandre Battle's application for the name was rejected because it made false connections between two people. Battle of Miami Beach in Florida needs permission from both bin Laden and Obama before the name can be approved as a trademark. Battle says he came up with the idea to give his friends a laugh and make quick money selling items that display the name on his website. He has 6 months to appeal the decision. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. If you buy a new car or truck this year, you might find some showrooms filled with vehicles that run largely on ethanol instead of gasoline. Car companies are pushing these corn-fueled vehicles as environmentally friendly. The Environment Report's Julie Grant takes a look at those claims.
More people are considering buying cleaner, more fuel-efficient cars now that gas prices and global temperatures are on the rise. The gas-electric hybrids made by Toyota and Honda are becoming popular, and American car companies are also jumping on board and offering alternative-powered vehicles. General Motors CEO Rick Wagner has put a lot of his company's stock in ethanol.
At GM, we believe that the biofuel with the greatest potential to displace petroleum-based fuels in the U.S. is ethanol. And so we've made a major commitment to vehicles that can run on E85 ethanol.
E85 is a blend that's 85% ethanol and 15% gasoline. GM's not the only car company that's offering cars that run on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my distinct pleasure to present to you the Lincoln MKR concept vehicle.
Angela Hines is from Green Bay, Wisconsin. She's taking notes as she looks at one flex fuel car. The E85 only matters to her if it's going to save her a few bucks.
I drive anywhere from 80 to 200 miles in a day for work. So, yeah, gas is important.
Guy DeRochers is looking at a Chevy Silverado pickup truck.
Does it matter to you that it's flex fuel?
I think it's a good thing. Flex fuel, yes. Particularly if we know there are some ethanol plants in Michigan that are coming, right? And isn't that what the flex fuel is, with ethanol?
DeRochers works in the auto industry, planning new engines and transmissions, but not for Chevy.
Of course, you have to remember, I work for Daimler Chrysler. So, but we have flex fuel as well. So, yeah, that's a good thing. I think that's wonderful.
But not everyone thinks the move toward ethanol-fueled cars is wonderful. Ted Deuce-Patzek is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of California in Berkeley. He says ethanol is not cheaper, and it's not any better for the environment than regular gas. Patzek says each gallon of ethanol burned might emit less greenhouse gas into the air, but you have to burn more fuel to go the same distance.
So mile for mile, emissions of CO2 are exactly the same for gasoline as they are for ethanol, because they are proportional to the energy stored in the fuel.
And when it comes to gas mileage, Patzek calls claims that ethanol is any better than gasoline an imaginary economy. And he's not alone. When Consumer Reports magazine tested a Chevy Tahoe that runs on gas mixed with only 10% ethanol, the truck got 14 miles per gallon. But it got less than 11 miles per gallon when the ethanol content was raised to 85%, as in E85. That's a 27% drop in fuel economy with E85. Consumer Reports concluded that to go the same distance, you wind up paying more than a dollar extra per gallon on E85 than on regular gas. Patzek says it's not a good deal for consumers or for the environment.
You emit less because you have oxygen, but you burn more and it comes as a wash.
And Patzek says ethanol has other environmental costs. To grow the corn needed to make it, farmers have to use more fossil fuel-based fertilizers, tractor fuel, and then more fuel to truck the ethanol to gas stations. Even so, many scientists say ethanol still provides an energy benefit over fossil fuels, and some auto engineers say ethanol cars are just a stopgap measure until a better technology comes along. But Patzek disagrees with that logic.
It's saying the following. Why don't we have a terribly bad solution and call it a stopgap solution because it's politically convenient? So what I'm saying is, if I'm an engineer, I have to essentially, if I'm honest with myself and others, I have to say, do I want a better technological solution? Or do I want to say, well, let's do the probably the worst possible solution that delays other actions 10, 15 years into the future while the world is running out of time?
Petzik says the real reason American car companies are moving toward vehicles that run on E85 is that the federal government rewards them for it. GM and the others get extra credit for meeting fuel efficiency standards just for making cars that run on E85, even if those cars aren't more fuel efficient. Patzek knows he's become unpopular among farmers, engineers, scientists, and politicians who want easy answers. He wants people to start reducing their energy use rather than waiting for technological magic bullets. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
And the forecast for East Central Illinois. Expect mostly sunny, cold conditions. The high will only reach 13 today. The wind from the northwest is at 8 to 16 miles per hour, keeping the wind chill below zero most of the day. Clear and cold tonight, the low 3 below zero. The wind is from the west at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Mostly sunny tomorrow, becoming windy, the high 23 degrees. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour during the morning, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour during the afternoon. We have a chance of snow again Friday night and Saturday, looking at possible accumulation of 2 to 3 inches. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.